Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I hadn't seen you in a little bit. At least if I could felt like a little bit. Someone got themselves back into shape, Jason.
I'm glad you think that. You're drunk. I'm no different than I was.
No?
No. I never took off the COVID-15.
Maybe I've only known you with the COVID-15. Maybe that is the difference. No. I feel like if you only know people with that, then maybe that's – to me, I'm like, maybe you lost an easy five.
No, I'm just as fat and happy as ever.
Must be the polo or something. I don't know. Keep that one in the rotation.
It's a good one.
It's a good one for sure. We have a good show lined up for you guys. We're going to talk to John Johnson III. We're going to talk to Jim Donovan. We're going to talk to Zach Meisel. We got a lot to get to. Jason is getting heckled here at different points of training camp, which I think is hysterical for so many. What happened? I know you walk around here like big man on campus, and rightfully so.
I do not.
What do you mean you don't? Come on.
Just walk around like everybody else, but no.
Come on.
I did hear from some fans throughout training camp last couple of weeks about the whole car incident with my wife, and has she let you back in the house yet, and are you still sleeping on the couch? And
now, do you like that's your heckle as opposed to what your suit looks like on the cover of a Cleveland magazine a couple years ago.
That is a great jacket. I will fight anyone who says otherwise, including Ken Carmen. That wasn't a great picture, but it's a great jacket.
I'm trying to think if I had one good Jason Lloyd heckle, and I don't because, you know.
Oh, there's plenty of them out there.
No, we're friends. I wouldn't do that to you. But if I was wearing like a Halloween mask or something and you didn't know it was me and I got one good Jason Lloyd heckle, oh, man, I think I got to go up to the suit. Like the suit.
I'll show you a picture during the break. It was a great suit. That was just a really bad
picture. Have you been able to wear that suit anywhere but that photo?
I've worn it. I probably can't even fit in it now. That was pre-COVID. I put on another 15 during COVID, and it hasn't come off yet.
That's one thing. So I went to a wedding over this past weekend. So I, myself, I've also put on COVID 15 would be generous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be very generous for me at this point. And I was going through my closet and going through all my, you know, the suits and ties and everything. And the suits always fit, though. Like, the pants don't fit anymore. The dress shirts underneath don't fit anymore. But the suits... Maybe I was just going like two sizes too big or
something.
I think
you're going too big.
But the suits, every one of them fit.
Really?
Like a daydream.
Well, yeah. Then you just didn't add it the shoulders then. Like, it's tight on me in the shoulders.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Or maybe I
got that fat guy in a little coat thing going on.
Yeah. Well, I also have the problem that I'm legitimately putting on weight nowhere but the belly.
Oh, well, that happens to a lot of us. Well, you were like going hard for the wedding, right? Like,
yeah, we did. Yeah.
And then after that, you're like, all right, I got her now. The pictures are done. I can eat whatever I want. Don't have to work out anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to try as hard.
That's
the point, right?
That's right. It's the whole point of getting married.
That's what they told me.
Don't have to try anymore.
And then, round the corner, when she gets pregnant, then it's support weight.
Then it's a race to see who can get bigger.
So far, I definitely am winning that race. I would imagine I could keep that one going to the finish line. If you really dare me, I can. So what did people say about your van then? What did they say?
No, just about the car. I was just getting heckled about the car. Not today. This was back a few days ago.
Oh, okay. I thought it was fresh heckling.
No. I haven't really talked to anyone today.
Days after the fact, do you feel like, months after the fact then, do you still feel like you made the right decision?
No, I should have bought it. It was stupid.
It was your car, though, right?
Yeah, it was my car, but I didn't need to buy it. It was dumb.
You're fine. I think you're fine only because if you bought the car for her, then I feel like you're in the wrong because she's got to live with it every day.
Well, that's coming next. Now she wants to replace. And I told her we'll replace hers.
But it's your car. You drive it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You drove it today?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to live with it 24/7.
Yeah. But now that she's wanting a new car, I can't tell her no to pretty much anything. Like, whatever she picks, I have to go along with.
You see, I've lost a couple battles early on in my marriage, and I'm trying to get to your stage where it feels like you have a good understanding that, like, you get more wins than losses.
I wouldn't go that far.
No?
But I know the rules of engagement. If she says, I'm getting a Lincoln Navigator, well, then I have to get her a Lincoln Navigator. Like, I can't tell her. After I didn't tell her I was buying a new car and I just showed up with a new car in the driveway, I now cannot turn around and tell her, no, I don't think it's a good idea. You shouldn't get that. Pretty much whatever she wants now, she's going to get.
He's Jason Lloyd. He's going to give me 5 hours of really good sports talk. That's what I want today from you, Jason. And I know you have it in you. I almost felt like I was doing like a coach speak there. Like, I want 5 hours. We did see Kevin Stefanski rolling around here recently. By the way, I hadn't seen him in a couple weeks. I feel like, when did he get so much white in his... Is that just football season? Is that what's just happening to him?
That's probably Deshaun Watson season.
There was a lot of white in that beard.
Well, you know, go back and look. Go look at Jim Tressel the day he took the job at Ohio State. And how much that job aged him over the first 4 or 5 years that he had it. And, you know, it's the whole presidential thing. You look at these guys the day they take office and when they leave.
The Obama photos are night and day.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it's the same thing with these jobs. It's
he really does, though. And
high-pressure, high-stress jobs.
He hasn't put on the COVID-15.
No.
He looks in very good shape.
Yes.
But, like, from his facial expressions and how he looks, it looks like this job has definitely aged him a ton. How could it not, though?
Think about everything this franchise has been through the last couple of years. And a lot of it's self-inflicted. But yeah, it's pressure, it's stress, and it's when these guys talk about controlling what they can control, they mean it because there's so much out there, there's so much negativity and so much just pressure on the job that you can only handle what you can handle.
You know, before we get to Dan Wetzel and some of the comments he had on with Ken and Anthony earlier today, I got to ask you this. I just feel like you're the perfect person to ask this type of question then, because you are...
This always makes me nervous.
Because you are... You have good street cred in this city for not being one of those people that'll carry the water for a team, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
You ask the tough questions when they need to be asked. In watching Kevin Stefanski go through everything that he has with Deshaun Watson, has there ever been a point where you're like, maybe I just need to not care as much about the fact... Like today, for instance. Today, he didn't give us the reason why Nick Harris got injured and why your starting center doesn't like is not going to be on the field, right?
Yeah.
Years past, we probably would have railed a coach for that, right? Like, give us an answer. Give us the reason. Let us know why. Stop being dodgy about it. A couple weekends ago with Kareem Hunt, right? I was here. I was live in Berea. You know, I could have gone for an hour talking about how he wouldn't say Kareem Hunt got fined $50,000 a day, even though it was public knowledge. Public knowledge, but he wouldn't acknowledge it for some reason. I could have done an hour on that one. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? Dude's had enough. Like, he's just been our punching bag for a long time. He's had enough. Is there a part of you, the journalist side of you, or maybe just the hard-hitting sports reporter side of you, that thinks to themselves, like, you know what? He's just had such a raw deal in all this. He just wants to talk X's and O's. Maybe I'll let him slide on a little bit more than maybe what I used to.
There's for sure a human factor. Absolutely. I think you have to approach them as humans first and foremost, and all these guys. But to your point, I think it's more of like, listen, we know this is who he is. He's not going to give anything up. We've had years of experience of this. I know last year didn't go the way everyone expected, but I still think he's the best coach they've had in here in a really long time. So you put up with it. Now, if it's Freddie Kitchens up there and he's not going to give you anything, you're probably going to hammer Freddie because he's not giving you anything on the field, so you better give me something off the field.
Well, and he consistently did give us everything off the field.
And he gave nothing on the field.
It was amazing how many things he was just open about talking about.
So I just think that it's the experience of dealing with it. You know what you got. You know he's not going to say anything. But he's backing it up with, I do believe for the most part, that this organization is run well, that they have the right people in the right roles. I think they finally have it right with Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. And that's why I'm a little concerned about this year, because you just never know. You just never know if this goes off the rails, if the Watson thing doesn't go the way that fans want it to, and if the season doesn't turn out the way you want. You just never know how it's going to end.
You know, I agree with you in the fact that, like, I love the trifecta, so to speak. I love Andrew Berry as a GM. I love Kevin Stefanski as a head coach, and I'll go a step further. I even like Jimmy Haslam. I know not a lot of people do. I like Jimmy Haslam. I know. It's a surprising take, but it's one I have.
Well, we could go 5 hours on that. I don't know if I've heard anyone say that.
I do. I like Jimmy. And in the past calendar year, he has proven to me one thing, and that's all I ever need out of an NFL owner. They really, truly wants to win. He's not buying this as a toy. He truly wants to win. Not every NFL owner will tell me that.
No, I will agree with you that they are embarrassed by how it's gone. 10 years now they've been here, and it's been just an abomination. There's no other way to say it. It's been an embarrassment. They've been the punchline of the league for 10 years, and they wear that personally, and they do want to fix that. I don't know if you can agree with all the decisions that they make in an effort to fix that, but they truly do want to win.
Well, and so what's funny about that, though, so if they have this holy trinity set up in my mind, right, they have the big three that you need to have a successful franchise, and you talked about how they seem stable and they seem set, and you turn around and it's like, this has been the most dysfunctional offseason we've ever had, though. It's kind of wild, because there's parts of you that thinks to yourself, this is going the right course. This is exactly where they need to be. They're making the right moves. They seem like a lot of guys got good heads on their shoulders, so to speak. And then you turn around and you're like, I've never come close to an offseason like this one, Jason.
This has been unbelievable. It really, and it's self-inflicted. Like, they invited this.
Yes, they did, yeah.
So they brought this on. And I do believe that this has gotten worse than they anticipated it would be in March. I think when they made the move, I don't think that they thought, I know they didn't think that they'd be halfway through training camp and still don't know who their quarterback is week one. That is stunning. So the twists and turns that it's taken, I know they weren't really anticipating whatever word you want to use, but they're in it now, and they got to figure it out, and you got to deal with it. And like I said, you just hope. I mean, who had ever thought at week two last year that Baker would be gone by the end of the year? So you can never use injuries as an excuse, and you can never say never that, oh, these guys will be back. You just don't know, man. You just don't know how the twists and turns of an NFL season and what that leaves you feeling. It's easy to say in August, but it leaves you with a vastly different feeling in January.
Well, and the weird part now is it's left us with a feeling where not only do I not know who is going to be the Week 7 starter, I don't know at what point Deshaun Watson will be on the field. And I'm wondering to myself, you know, are we too close to this? Are we sitting here? I have no idea what your opinion on this is. I'm just speaking for myself right now. But for myself, I'm not living with the idea that Deshaun Watson is going to be gone for the entirety of the year. I do think it's going to be anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 games, somewhere in that range. Obviously, it's got to be more than what you would imagine with the six. But Dan Wetzel was on Ken and Anthony earlier today, and he had this to say.
I was very, very confident that the NFL would appeal, and I've been saying all along, including on the show, the NFL generally gets what it wants. This is not a disciplinary system that is rooted in any kind of what would be generally regarded as fairness. So if Goodell wants him gone for a year, he's probably going to go for a year. And maybe some wiggle room on that, but it's not going to be this brief little thing. And so sure enough, when, you know, the initial ruling comes down from Judge Robinson, there's, you know, everyone screaming. I'm like, they're going to appeal it. And now we sit and wait. And is it going to be the full year? Is it going to be, or is it going to be like 12 games or something like that, that, you know, makes it really difficult to like throw him in late in the season? We'll see. But I still anticipate the year. They don't want him playing. I think the reaction in Jacksonville by the fans does not help. This is a political decision, not a labor decision, not a legal decision. No matter how much they paint it up or spin it, this is politics. They want Watson out, and fans are chanting what they're chanting, and the reaction comes in heated. I still think Deshaun Watson's going to go out, and it's not because of any legal analysis, because I don't think there's any legal analysis to be had here.
What do you think, Jason?
Well, of course they're going to chant, "You sick blank," and they're gonna heckle him.
Those are really aggressive heckles, though. I didn't expect that they were to be that aggressive.
Oh, really? Oh, it's only going to get worse.
You think so?
I mean, but Roethlisberger faced the same thing everywhere he
went.
For
years.
Kobe faced the same thing everywhere he went. I mean, let's
it's fair.
Be honest. So, of course, it's gonna...
You're right about that. NFL fans, I need to always adjust to where I am sometimes. My mind always thinks baseball, and I, you know, baseball fans... We watched a lot of people that weren't great humans come back, and it never had that vitriol attached to themselves. NFL fans, you're right. They do go harder in the paint in that regard.
But I think that's to be expected. I do wonder if there's room. I mean, everything that for the last week and a half tells me Deshaun wants to settle. He's willing to settle. The report from the Associated Press last week about he would take 8 games. I think I know exactly where that came from, but I don't know for certain, so I'm not going to say. But I think I know where on which side from him where that came from. And I think that was their signal to the NFL of let's sit down and talk. The interview he did prior to the game in Jacksonville where he expressed remorse is another salvo in saying let's sit down and let's talk. And I do think that now they are willing to negotiate and try and come up with a settlement. And from the league side of this, I think there's a fear if you give him a year, they will take this to court. It's not the end of it. So is there a way? Mm-hmm. Is 12 enough? Is 12 enough to where the league feels like they got their pound of flesh and where we can avoid federal court with all of this and where Deshaun is willing to give up some money, sit the extra number of games, and we can have some resolution to this? Because I think at this point, everybody just wants some resolution to this. But if the NFL overreaches and if they go for a year, I do think that this could wind up in court. And so I think there's probably a belief on all sides. Is there ground here that we can reach to where we can spell the whole thing out? The contract gets spelled out. Any sort of fine is understood, mm-hmm. and both sides agree to it so that there can be some clarity and resolution to this.
It's going to be really interesting. We're going to have 5 hours to talk about more with that. He is the voice of the Cleveland Browns, one of the very best to ever do it. His name is Jim Donovan. He joins us here live in Berea. Jim, thanks for giving us a few minutes.
My pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
Well, you got 1 week down with the new crew. How did it go?
I think it went really well. Yeah, we had a good time down there. We were down there forever. In Jacksonville. I mean, we went down on Wednesday. I've never done that before a preseason game. I mean, you know, if you're going to the Super Bowl and you go early, I get it. But I mean, if you're going to the preseason game number one and you're in Jacksonville, I don't get it. But it was good. I think it really went well. And we all had a good time down there and got a lot. I don't even think there were a lot of bugs to get out. So we'll build a little bit more to game two coming up and certainly be ready by the time we go to Carolina.
Yeah, I asked Spano. I said, he's got there on Wednesday. He's like, yeah, entirely too long there. And,
oh,
and he goes, nobody vacations in Florida in August. And I'm like, yeah, with reason, I guess. With reason.
Have to tell you, by the looks of downtown Jacksonville, not many people live there.
Did you golf? Too hot to golf?
You know what I did? I'm going to tell you. If you want to ask me about any team that is now in Williamsport at the Little League World Series, I can give you a complete scouting report on all of our regional champions because they were on all day long. You know, I mean, it was amazing. So the team from Iowa. They look good.
That's great.
That was a good roster from Iowa. Did you see the kid? I think it was from Wyoming. I don't know. But he had, instead of having batting gloves on, he had the gloves that you would, like, like take hay bales with, and like he's on the farm.
I mean, yeah.
And then he crushed
it. This,
and he crushed like a 300 foot dinger.
Yeah. Well, we have a farm, so maybe I should have taken a look at those gloves.
Yeah. might have worked.
Because I'm throwing a lot of hay there. I need nice gloves.
Man. So we were talking before we got on here about like your broadcasting influence. We'll get more on the Browns. I'm just fascinated by this stuff because I think you're so talented. I think you're so great.
Well, thank you.
And when you do a game, do you think like, let me put it this way. Sports radio host, I have a bunch of different influences and different people that I take from. I never wanted to be a play-by-play guy. I never had that in me. I've always wanted to be sports radio. But did you growing up, like, who was the guy that you, even when you do games back, you're like, maybe there's a little bit of me here, or is that just not a thing for you?
No. I grew up in Boston, and every team there had an amazing announcer, amazing play-by-play guy. And I always thought that I was going to be a hockey guy. Boston being a big hockey town. So the Bruins had great, great announcers. They had two great radio announcers during my time there. Fred Cusick, who did radio and then moved to TV. And this was during the Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, Jerry Cheevers, a couple of Stanley Cups, just the Big Bad Bruins. I mean, it was amazing.
Then
the Celtics had Johnny Most, who was a character, the gravelly-voiced announcer for the Celtics, famous for Havlicek Stole the Ball. The Patriots had a great announcer. And if I kind of took a lot from somebody, it was this guy, Gil Santos, who did the Patriots for 37 years. And just recently retired and unfortunately passed away. And I used to listen to him because at that time the Patriots never sold out. They were never even close to selling out, okay?
Yeah.
They couldn't give tickets away. So you listen to the game on Sunday afternoon. This is when Jim Plunkett was playing for the Patriots. And this guy was just amazing. And I used to send tapes to him and the other announcers in Boston.
Oh, that's awesome.
My play-by-play and say, hey, can you give me a tip here, a tip there? And the most exciting day would be when I'd get that envelope back in the mail with WBZ Radio 1030, Westinghouse Broadcasting up in the left corner. And I would go, oh, my God. I wouldn't even read the letter. I was so excited about the envelope. But they would give me tips, and I have to tell you, those guys were great. But then as I went along, I found Marv Albert.
Nice.
Okay, which was tough for someone from Boston because everybody hated the New York teams, the Knicks, the Rangers, the Yankees. And Marv was doing the Knicks and the Rangers at the same time on radio.
That's crazy.
Which was crazy. You're absolutely right. But I would listen to him and, I developed a fantastic...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Imitation of Marv.
That's really good.
I thought that I took too much of that at one point in my career. And my dad, God bless him, said to me, you know, you do a great Marv Albert imitation. When are we going to hear you?
Wow.
And I kind of went, yeah, you're right.
It's the thing only a dad could say, right?
Yeah, only a dad could say
that,
right.
That's great. Well, and doing an impression of Marv Albert would have taken you very far in its own right, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's something I don't know if Jonathan knows or not. You went to college with Howard Stern. We talked about that before.
I did.
He worked at the college radio station at Boston University.
WWT.
All right, so I love Private Parts. I think that movie is great. WNBC. But, before we got there, right, the early years of Howard, was Howard – admittingly, just not being great at radio. Like, did you get that vibe, or when you were there in college, was it like, no, it's this guy Howard Stern. We all know he's going to be great.
Well, the station was WTBU at Boston University, and it was done out of the dormitory. That's where the control room was. The studios were at the Miles Standish dormitory, which was right down the street from Fenway Park. And I meet this guy, Howard Stern, and I get the BU hockey job, which was big at BU. BU was a national power in hockey. And the games were on Saturday nights, typically. And I would do the hockey game, and I would come back to bring the equipment back to the studio and became a participant on the Howard Stern show, which was the King Schmaltz Bagel Hour. And I was part of these skits with him, and I became really great friends with him. Now, he was a senior, and I was a freshman, so I was only with him for 1 year. And I had just had the greatest time with him. I mean, there was at the School of Public Communication at BU, there was a lounge before you went to a class that everybody would hang out in before they went to class. And I would sit there and laugh with him. I mean, we had a great time. And he would write parts for me and say, hey, when are you coming back from the hockey game? Oh, I should be back by 10 o'clock. All right, hurry back. And we would do this skit together, and it was really great. Then I lost touch with him, and all of a sudden another friend of mine, Doug Brown, who's on ESPN radio, Doug Brown, who used to do the hockey games with me, called me one time and said, hey, have you heard Howard Stern? And I go, no, where is he? He goes, he's at WNBC. Now, I was up in Burlington, Vermont at the time doing radio, but WNBC would boom in to Burlington, Vermont with its signal.
Oh, yeah.
And I started listening to him, and I went, oh, my God. He was not to that level when he was at BU. So he picked up some expertise. But, yeah, we had a great time together for 1 year.
That's so cool. I love everything about that. All right, now we have to talk Browns a little bit here because I could talk broadcasting with you all day long. You do like the master classes they have online. I would do a master class with Jim Donovan in broadcasting. That would be such a treat for me. Deshaun Watson, with playing, he didn't play that many snaps. We all know that. We get that. Do you think he's going to play at all in the second preseason game or third preseason game, or would you play him? We'll put it that way.
I think you could see him. Yeah, if we go on with the way we are right now and there's still no decision, or if there's a decision and it's not a year-long indefinite suspension, yeah, I think you could see him play again. And I think they would like to play him after what happened last Friday night, and probably like to play him at home too, and maybe get a little bit more of a positive reaction. I think they would gauge that it would be much more positive than it was down in Jacksonville. That would not be a long walk to get it to be more positive than that. But, yeah, I do, because then I think at some point you have to cut bait there, and you really have to commit to getting Brissett ready. And I think that would happen for the Bears game and certainly for those 11 days before they get ready for Carolina.
Is it a shift in philosophy for Kevin to be playing these guys in the preseason? Obviously, they didn't really do that a whole lot last year. If you're going to play Deshaun, you have to play your starting offensive line, do you not?
You do,
And we just saw what happened with Nick Harris in that opener. So it just feels like it's so much more than just playing the quarterback. You have to play so many other guys, and you're exposing so many other guys to injury risk.
Yeah, I think so, Jason. I really do, and I think there's a new way of doing things. It's a copycat league in every form, right? The way you play defense, offense, and the way you coach and the way you handle training camp. There are many more now of these, joint practices that they really consider so much more valuable and effective than the games. They really do.
Yeah.
So what happens out here on Thursday and Friday, likewise what happened a summer ago when the Giants came in, they felt they got their best work and were ready to go by the start of the season with what happened in those 2 days, then playing them against the Giants or this week against the Eagles. But you're right about that. You just can't put him in. Or if you played Brissett on Sunday, you just can't put him in. I mean, you're probably going to have to at some point. You're going to have to play Betonio. You're going to have to play Teller. You're going to have to probably play Wills, things like that. And I know the center spot is pretty fluid. So there does come a price that you pay and risk when you have to do that.
You mentioned the center spot. You think J.C. Treader is a reunion in the works, or do you feel like we're maybe not going to go down that road again?
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a different point of view here that maybe people aren't tapping into a little bit more. I don't think it's the NFLPA thing. I think it was his play last year. I think late in the season, I want to go back, all right, because it's a picture in my mind that I can't get rid of. They need 3 yards to beat the Raiders on that Thursday night. They are second and three, third and three. Two downs. They have Nick Chubb in the backfield. Treader gets blown up on both plays by Jonathan Hankins. They don't get the first down. They give up the ball, right? And, you know, the Raiders go down and end up hitting the field goal and beating them. And that really was when the playoffs became, you know, not a good possibility for them. So I think it was more his play that maybe keeps them from going back. You know, he didn't practice a lot, sometimes because of injury and, you know, the veteran situation. He kind of took the Joe Thomas path, I think, in the last couple of years. He did heroically 1 year play on that high ankle sprain. But I do believe they were wanting to get Nick Harris in there. They were excited when they got him in there on Christmas Day against Green Bay and what they were able to do. They looked forward to having him play. That won't happen this year now. But so I don't. I'm not leaning on the side of, well, he was with the NFL. He is the NFLPA president. It's a problem. He was a problem coming in here and preaching to players, don't take part in the off-season conditioning program, that kind of thing.
What is the level of fatigue right now with just Deshaun? We talked in the open.
Oh, I think it's, yeah.
We're halfway through camp, and they don't know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. It really is. And I think it's a problem for the guys on the team, and I think you saw a little bit of it Friday night. I do. I think you saw a little bit of it. And I think they have to get used to the reaction they're going to get when he does play,
yes.
Okay? This is all new to them. You know, they were lovable losers for so many years, and now they're hated and by association, not because of what they did or what their belief is or anything like that. I think that, but for this coaching staff, to have to go into this every day and say, okay, how many reps do we give him? And who do we give those reps with him, who's with him when we give him those reps? I think it really is tedious. I really believe, Jason, I mean, we looked at target dates the Friday before Memorial Day, the Friday before July 4th, the Tuesday before they came to training camp with them opening up on Wednesday. All of those days were, okay, this is the time. This would be the perfect time to get a decision in this thing. I think it really is taxing to them, and I think it really has become, well, I said this the other day, I think it's become cruel that they are locked into this right now. Now, I know they put themselves in it. They're the ones that made the deal. But it's cruel how long it's going on and how it's affecting the team, not just him. You're punishing the team, too.
Would you end up giving Stefanski a pass for this year?
No, I don't think so, because I think they're too good a team. I really do. I think they're really talented.
2-53, one of the best in the NFL.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that really, yeah, that's a good way to put it. But number one's a big one. Right? But you're right. But I look at that roster. You know, his first year, he carved out a different way to win early in the year, which I thought was masterful. I mean, he had no off-season program. He had no preseason games. And they went in. He found a way to win. The way to win was Chubb, Hunt, that offensive line, and really control Mayfield. I mean, he was only throwing an average of 18, 19 throws a game, okay? Then it kind of exploded the second half of the season, and that was fine. He's going to have to do that, I think, Jonathan. He's really going to have to find a different avenue to win. But there are avenues out there. Like, his defense this year is going to be much better than the defense they won with and played with into the playoffs that year, and certainly I think better than, I would say, the first eight games of last season, because by the back half of last year I thought that was a really good defense. That was a playoff caliber defense. The unfortunate thing is that offense didn't score.
Yeah, without question.
We have a couple more weeks, but I have you now, so I have to ask you, what do you think the reaction is going to be? Carolina week one, Baker against the Browns, just the whole environment, how he's going to approach this, how they're going to approach this.
Well, the pressure on the game is going to be amazing for Kevin Stefanski, coaching staff, team. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, just amazing to win that game. Okay, this is a franchise that hasn't won an opening day game since, I think it was 2004 with Jeff Garcia at quarterback against Baltimore. Jeff Garcia, okay? So the losing streak on opening day is really nothing compared to if Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback, and all indications are that he probably will be. I would not want to be around Monday if they lose that game Sunday in that building that we are just 100 yards away from. I really wouldn't, because I think the pressure on that game is going to be amazing. Yeah. I mean, there have been some big games where you say you got to beat Pittsburgh, all right, you got to beat Baltimore. They have to win this game, not only to launch their season, but just all the storylines that just really strangle the game.
The great Jim Donovan. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes. And
I had a great time. Good to talk to you.
It was so good to talk to you, and we'll be listening all season long. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Right.
I could do Jim Donovan, Howard Stern stories until, whew, we could just do that until 7 o'clock.
He's great. Jimmy's a gem, man. I love Jim Donovan. There is one of my favorite people in Cleveland.
See, let me tell you why that story, though, was a little upsetting to young me, because, you know, I like WNBC. Looks like a pig, makes you want to vomit. Pig vomit. Like, I love that movie. But part of why I love that movie so much is the idea that Howard Stern was just trash at radio. Right? Like, Howard Stern was just bad at it. Because he goes all throughout these different places, right? Like, nobody hired him to begin with, which is very, that's a thing that happens out of communication school and wherever you go.
Yep.
You don't get hired, you send out a million tapes. But then he had to go to all these different, like, know-nothing radio stations, and then he just, you know, he rose to the top, and he was in Detroit, and he was doing the weird country stuff, which is something that he'd have to do, and then you know, he ends up on a 100,000-watt station in WNBC in New York. It's like a real, I don't know. It's a rise to the top from nothing. I love stories like that. I hate the story of the kid that is, like, at 5. You know, Tiger Woods going on the game show at 3, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, he hasn't even hit puberty yet, but he's going to win a Masters.
Jonathan doesn't like prodigies.
I don't like prodigies. Rory's dad betting, like, $25,000 that he was going to win the British Open at the age of 15. Think about how much money that is to put down at the age of 15 that your son is going to win a major championship. Prodigies, go take a hike. I like the hard-working, let's develop as we go type guys.
But, you know, that's prodigies like. Have to work hard, too, you know.
Yeah, they have to work hard, sure. But, you know, they're on easy street when they actually start to, you know, get of a certain age. You know, Howard doing country radio in Nowheresville. Those are the stories I like.
Jimmy's got 100 of them. Jimmy's got a million Howard.
So here's stories. Where that story becomes a little disheartening to someone like me, is that if Jim Donovan was hanging out with Howard Stern in college, talent meets talent. You know what I mean?
It's like me and Brian Winters going to Kent together, right?
Exactly. Exactly right. Yes, talent meets talent. So you guys were always destined to become friends because you guys were always destined to go ahead and have success. And now I hate you a little bit, your prodigy.
We didn't really hang out in college. I didn't really hang out with Brian until well after college. Now I adore him. He's a very good friend of mine. But at the time,
were you guys in some of the same classes?
Yeah, we had one or two classes together. Yeah.
What'd you think of college, Brian Windhorse?
He was studious, quiet, went to class. I did none of those things. That's why he's at ESPN and I'm not.
You're like, hey, Brian, let me give you life advice. You're showing up to one too many classes.
We had a 2.5-hour news design class. It started like 8 a.m. And Carl Shearhorn was a professor. And I told Carl, like, listen, you will never see me here by 8, but I'll do my best to be here by 9. Is that good enough?
he's like, Jason, it's a 45-minute class. The time you get here that's been over for 15 minutes.
No, that's about how my college experience went at Kent State.
Man. At least you're represented, though. You know, do you ever wear any Kent State gear? I never see
Oh,
you,
yeah.
I never see you repping the school that hard, do you?
Yeah, I got a couple T-shirts, yeah. They still hit me up for money every now and
that's
then.
That's one of the biggest crocks of, you know, whatever.
I've never given them a dime.
No.
Never a dime.
I got a scholarship to school, a bowling scholarship, right? So I didn't pay a dime for my school.
I think I remember this.
And I still would never give – I would never give them anything. On principle for – other people that had to pay the full freight.
Yeah, they got plenty of my money. They got plenty of my money.
The John Mulaney joke is I paid more than what it costs to have the entire Civil War, and you guys want to come back for me for money?
More. Yeah,
like, no, not happening.
No.
It's Jason, it's Jonathan. You're live in Berea. Let's talk about what Jim had to say, though, in regards to Kevin Stefanski. Are you giving him a pass this year?
I'm not giving him a pass, but I think this is his most difficult season, and I want to talk to Jimmy about that. We were just sort of short on time. You know, it's funny when you think about he got hired right before COVID, so he had the COVID shutdown. He basically had to install his entire system over the internet on Zoom meetings. And then last year with some of the injury concerns with Baker and everything else, and the JC, whatever you want to call it, boycott protest, he had no OTA program last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of things working against Kevin since he got to Cleveland, and he's overcome them all. I think this will be his most difficult season, just in terms of what we said. It's middle of August. They don't know who their quarterback is. The locker room has to heal. The fact that, you know, there was damage done. Nobody's really hiding from that fact that the Baker in the locker room was damaging last year. And they moved some of those people out. But there's some healing that has to occur from that. And I'm sure that there's people that aren't thrilled that Deshaun's here. There's 53 dudes in there. There's more than that right now. It's pretty safe to say that a couple of them probably aren't real happy. I think the vast majority don't care, but I'm sure that there's some that aren't real thrilled with the situation. And I promise you, there's wives in there that aren't real thrilled with the situation. Wives of players who are like, that liked Emily and Baker and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Who when these guys get home, they have to hear about
we
it.
We know the ones that took the photos with them constantly. Wyatt Teller was on his Instagram every other day.
Yep. And I'm sure when these guys get home, they have to hear from their wives about, I can't believe that they got rid of Baker and Emily and they brought this guy in. And like, that's real life. It's a real thing. So you have to heal the locker room from that. And there's just so much at stake here and so much at play. I think this will be his most challenging, most difficult season since he's been here, even though they've already had so much already.
All right, we're going to move John Johnson III, by the way. He's supposed to be at 3 o'clock. We're going to have Chris Antonetti join us at 3:20 here live on Afternoon Drive on The Fan. So big get. Chris Antonetti, 3:20. You guys want to pay attention to that one. Incredible. So I got to ask you, though, because I don't think you're going to like this take, so I have to give it off to you before we really dive into everything else. But like, when it comes to overcoming adversity, I feel like you're an overcoming adversity type guy. But the point I would make is that the Raiders last year had a head coach who had a whole email scandal in his own right. They had a wide receiver who we'll wait and see what the court system says, but definitely somebody died in that whole incident.
Yep.
We had another player on their roster who threatened to kill another member, and it was just like incident after incident after incident, and you turn around and you're like, wait, they made the playoffs for the first time in the Derek Carr era. Derek Carr also almost threw for 5,000 yards. He threw for about 4,800, which was 700 more yards than he ever threw for in his entire career. You can make a legitimate argument that was the most successful Raiders season in the Derek Carr era without question, and it's like, but wait, look at all the adversity they had.
But they had a quarterback who pulled them together.
Do you think that's just the defining difference is the Derek Carr sitting at the podium being like, hey, we have to get through this, and we have to get through this, and we have to get through this.
The way Derek Carr handled all the incidents that you just talked about, go back and pull up the footage, the way that he talked.
No, he was great. I remember when it happened.
He was fantastic. After the Ruggs, right, Henry Ruggs, after the Ruggs incident, after John Gruden, after that whole thing.
Nate Hobbs, yeah, the other one. Yeah.
The way that he pulled these guys together and the way that he sort of unified the locker room. The quarterback here last year did not do that. The quarterback here divided the locker room. And it's a huge difference between the two. And you don't even know who the quarterback is at this point. And if it is Jacoby Brissett, Jacoby Brissett's not the kind of guy. He's not Derek Carr. He's not the guy that the entire locker room is going to rally around.
The crowd, by the way, was not just they were not applauding for you in that take. Although I really thought they, at first I'm like, wow, the crowd, they really love it. They love what you did. No. The Browns are
that's the crowd noise.
Yeah, they're trying to hype up the noise here for practice. Although we can, a parallel universe. They're just applauding
they're
for
applauding
you,
me.
And they're not even paying attention at all to what is just happening. You do make a good point there. We'll continue on with that one, 216-578-0092 if you want to get on board. Also, Chris Antonetti will join us coming up at 3:20. It's Jonathan Peterlin. It's Jason Lloyd. We are live in Berea with you guys on Afternoon Drive on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.